You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to take a pause in the triple dipper, but still talk about some of the same stuff, really, and go to the phones right now and bring on a friend of mine, Bill Holtzclaw. Bill Holtzclaw and I served together in the Alabama State Senate. He was a state senator for Alabama Senate District Number 2, lives in the Madison area, a retired career Marine, and really one of the more conservative members of the body when we were both there together, sitting side by side on the Senate floor. And I'm proud to bring him back on as he is running for his old seat again because we need conservatives in office. Bill Holtzclaw, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well today, Bill. Thanks for having me back on with you this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely, man. Well, so I'm sure you're in full campaign mode right now and got things going on, but I got to ask you, I don't know, I mean, with gas prices being what they are, Is it coming up out there on the campaign trail about the gas tax that people like your successor, Tom Butler, helped put in place back in 2019?
Yes, it is. Tax on anything that's coming up. Everything is expensive, as you were just discussing earlier about just the trickle down of, you know, if it costs more to produce it, costs more to deliver it, it's going to cost more to buy it. You know, and consumers are really feeling the squeeze. It's funny, my wife was leaving. She works out at Orange Theory, and she was leaving there this morning, and she commented to me when she came home. She said, you know, one of the girls was talking about filling up with gas, and the other one said, boy, they picked a bad time to raise the gas tax, didn't they? And she just laughed and said, I'm going to have to tell Bill about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's out there. I mean, I actually read an article, Bill, and I'm going to get to what you and I did back in the day, but I read an article yesterday on the air. And it was a couple years old, but Quinn Hillier, who's generally conservative, he's a never Trumper, but he's generally conservative, wrote a piece a couple years ago, said, and I was actually quoted in the same article, saying he didn't really expect there to be any political ramifications from the fact that they raised the gas tax because it was kind of, you know, going to be a long way to the next election. Well, I don't think they planned on things being what they are right now. The market is bringing that thing back around to everybody's attention, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. And I will tell you something else that I've heard some people, or I've talked to some people about. You know, they raised the gas tax because they were going to rebuild Alabama, basically. You know, it's a rebuild
right.
Alabama thing. We're going to repave and rebuild new roads and whatnot. And that's happening in some parts of the state. But it's not happening in the area that I represent or want to represent again. I look at some of the same congested roads that were there when I left office in 2018. There was work that we were successful in getting done, but it stopped at that point. And right now, there's my opponent's campaign signs on all these congested roads, and I hope people are looking at them and thinking, you know what? He raised my taxes, and I'm sitting in traffic still, and we're not getting the road construction that we were promised when they said that's why they were raising our taxes. So
no, and here's something else,
it's quite
too,
the
Bill.
Conundrum.
Here's something else, too, Bill. The reality is anything that the legislature enacts, it can technically unact if it wants to, or it can freeze it. They can give you a gas tax holiday. But right now, it's like they don't even see the fact that their own constituents are paying $4 a gallon for gas or more. And truthfully, if they wanted to, they could go in there and with all the excess revenues they have, with the huge amount of surpluses they got from federal COVID relief dollars because the court said they could, they could actually give us a gas tax holiday if they wanted to, or at least try to reduce the gas tax or freeze it for a period of time. But they're not even talking about it.
No, uh-uh. And to some degree, that's, you know, that's a red herring to say that to do that because it doesn't solve the long-term problems that we still face. You know, whether you're for or against the gas tax, it's passed. It's a political hot potato to say let's give the holiday or let's pause it. And I do think that they're – honestly, I know there's some gubernatorial candidates that are talking about that. I don't know if the wherewithal is there for our current legislative body to do it, as they're trying to get out of town and get back home and campaign because, you know, this election's hot on their heels. It's like 76 days away now.
Yeah, and you know, red herring or not, the reality is you would think they would at least bring it up. And right now, they know that if they bring it up, they have to acknowledge the fact that what they did a few years ago has to be dealt with. And so they choose not to. That being said, right. You and I sat there on the Senate floor in 2016, and we were two of the deciding votes that killed the gas tax the first time they tried to bring it up.
Yes. And I would tell you, Phil, that the reasons that you and I did that, I think, were in the same, is that it just was not a fair distribution. It was not there wasn't the built-ins. I will give them this, although I don't think it's working out the way they expected. What they did pass in 2019, they built in some backstops so that they couldn't buy equipment and offices and personnel. It had to go to blacktop, to road construction or road improvement, which I think is the right way to go. But, you know, you still have the counties and municipalities aren't necessarily happy with the formula. And so that piece is coming back up as well.
Yeah, the other thing they didn't do, though, in that was they chose to enact no reforms. First of all, they left it wide open. It escalates every 2 years. It can continue to go up without having a further vote of the legislature. It's an escalatory tax. Exactly. But then the other thing they didn't do is reform their current processes. They were telling everybody they didn't have enough money for roads and bridges, and yet $60+ million a year was coming out of the existing road and bridge fund to pay for things that weren't roads and bridges, like courts and state troopers. And so if you're going to say you don't have enough money, you think you would, you know, make sure you're using your money you've got the right way.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
Hey, man, before we run out of time, you and I first started talking. We didn't mean to go that long on this one, but you and I first started talking about some things you noticed within the gun bill. So give me the perspective of what you're seeing in these latest changes to the gun bill, the constitutional carry bill down in Montgomery.
Well, sure, and just to catch your listeners up real quick, and I'll be as brief as I can, but you know, with a politician, that's not very brief. But just to catch your listeners up real quick, is the House bill passed. And went to the Senate. The Senate, the biggest thing that was talked about was the Senate added a funding mechanism so that if a sheriff's department can show that they have a reduction in revenue, then over a period of time, then this fund will pay them and make them whole again. And everybody talked about that, like, well, that's, you know, first of all, it wasn't about the money, but not really is about the money in regards to the permitless carry or the constitutional carry bill. But there were some comments made the other day that made me research just a little bit more onto that bill. It turns out, Phil, the bill was actually substituted on the Senate floor, which you and I know is a red flag. Because that means there are substantive changes that were made to the House bill so much that it just couldn't be amended just to put this new section in. They also did a couple of other things to it, which gives me pause. One of them is, and this goes back to the omnibus gun bill that you and I helped pass back in like 2013, right. which I was behind and you were behind because it corrected a lot of the patchwork quilt of confusing gun laws that we had in our state. It wasn't the 100% solution. I tell people all the time, it was the 80% solution to our gun rights issues that we had in our state, but it got us a lot further down the road. But here's what was added into the Senate version that should be concerning. One thing that was added in is there's a section that excludes where, regardless, they're gun-free zones, but they make sense. You can't have a gun. You and I can't carry a gun into a sheriff's office. We can't carry a gun into a mental hospital. There's certain exclusions. The Senate actually added the phrase that you can't carry a bill into any elected office, official's elected office, which gave me pause. Why? What's the purpose of no longer being able to carry a gun into the primary office of any elected official is what the bill actually reads. And it's just a caveat little line right there. And to me, Phil, that's missing a lot of context that I need to have some answers on. The other thing that's concerning that they added in there is that if a law enforcement officer pulls you over and you disclose that you have a firearm, that if he feels reason, he can confiscate that firearm, take it into custody is what the law says, what the bill says, that he can take that firearm into custody. You know, now you're a lawyer, I'm not, okay, but there's already probable cause that would make a law enforcement officer say, you know, I'm going to do a search and seizure, and if I find weapons, I'm going to confiscate them and whatnot. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about codifying the fact that a law enforcement officer can if he feels that there's reason, and it goes in to say, you know, that threat to someone else and whatnot, but still, we're giving this 20-some-odd-year-old police officer, which I think they're all doing great work, don't get me wrong, but what about the one that doesn't, okay? We're giving them the authority to basically take into possession your weapon once you disclose that you have one in your vehicle. And so I don't know if you're following this, but the Senate passed their version of it, a substituted version of the House bill that passed. It's been transmitted back to the House. The House went into session about 45 minutes ago, about 2:30. I am tracking a couple of folks that are having issue with this. Some of the proponents of the bill that are suddenly saying we need to go to conference committee, which for your listeners, that means that the House and Senate don't agree on the two pass versions, and they're going to have to go hammer some of this out. So I hope they continue to kind of give pause to this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm missing some context on some things here that I don't really understand why made it into the Senate version.
Absolutely. And but we've got about a minute left, Bill, but I think we all are. I think we definitely want to hear some clarification on how a bill related to the Second Amendment just dealt with a new version of search and seizure that is a due process question. And is there a definition as to how that is allowed to take place? That's big doings right there. So thank you for bringing that to my attention. Hey, listen, Bill, we are up against a break, but let me ask you this. Go ahead and tell folks where they can find you. And I think you've got an event coming up, and I said I'd be glad to let you push that real quick on the air too. What you got?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Real quick, I'll be quick. This Thursday, so at Old Black Bear in Madison, we're doing our first meet and greet. It's called Brews with Bill. It's going to be from 5 to 7 p.m. It's just a casual opportunity to meet with me, exchange of ideas, and just visit with one another. We're going to do several other ones. We've got Straight to L lined up and Fractal Brewing lined up. But this is the first one that we're doing. I'll have it on my website, more information about future ones that we're doing. But it's Brews with Bill. I was the Senate sponsor of the act that passed the Brewery Modernization Act, which allowed the breweries to open up, and I'm thankful that they did. It's a great economic development tool. But you can go to HoltzclawForSenate.com to find out more information about that, this Thursday night's event, as well as the future ones.
All right, man. Beer, politics, and guns. What a great conversation. All right, Bill Holtzclaw. Thanks, man.
Longer.
Appreciate you being on, brother. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, sir.
All right, folks. Copper, you move us to a break. But, folks, that was Bill Holtzclaw, former state senator. Literally, we sat next to each other on the Senate floor for 8 years. And when there was an evening where we just didn't feel like being a part of the whole lobbyist venture, you know, dinners and all that kind of stuff, he and I went and got a burger and a beer, and that was just good times. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.